Star Trek, our favorite frontier. These are the podcasts of Aaron and Polly, their ongoing mission to explore all things Trek, to seek out cool things and pick them apart, to boldly complain as no one's complained before.
And this is Paul.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Star Trek with Aaron and Polly. And
very, very exciting. 2 weeks in a row, Aaron.
2 weeks in a row.
It's, 2 weeks, three episodes.
It's crazy.
It's unprecedented.
It's crazy.
That's what it is.
But you know, crazy. Paul, we had just barely turned the mics off last week when at the, I think it's the CineCon show in Las Vegas at the Caesars Palace, I believe. Paramount executives announced that they have a tentative date. They have a target date for the Star Trek 2009 prequel that we talked about last week. It's actually going to happen, Paul. Ish.
I mean, we've had similar announcements in the past before.
They can't do it if it's not true.
Well, true. So, true. Yeah. This is very true.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I really don't need a 2009 prequel, but apparently that's what this is going to be.
Well, I guess that's how you get that cat. You know, that's how you tell more stories in that universe, considering they just don't want to pay the cast.
True.
I think it's ultimately what we're dealing with here, right? They don't want to pay, you know, your Chris Pine fees.
Right. Well, and those big Zach Quinto dollars. Don't forget that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's
you got to pay for both pointy ears.
He's clearly asking for a premium nowadays because he's so popular.
Yeah. Well, it's really the Zoe Saldana dollars that you're shelling out. I mean, of the three of them, she's the movie star.
Yeah. She's the one who should be demanding the most.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I loves me some Chris Pine, and let's not forget, you know, dear old Dr. McCoy, you know, who I...
But I mean, for what it's worth, I kind of feel like Carl Urban will do your bar mitzvah if you ask him.
I think you're right. I think he's just happy to be invited.
Yeah.
But of the four, I think Zoe Saldana is the...
She's literally in the highest grossing movies of all time.
Of all time.
None of the rest of them can say that.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think she's the one, you know, they need to be making an Uhura movie with just her.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, that being said, I'm pretty sure she's not the holdup here.
No, I don't think she is either. I think the holdup is the studio. I think the holdup is them not wanting to pay the actors, you know. And strictly for the fact that the films have represented diminishing returns, and you've got so much money above the line now that you're at number four. How do you make that movie and still be profitable given what the audience expects in terms of special effects? You know, we are so far beyond the films that we made with the original series cast and the Next Generation cast, where you could throw $32 million at a film and call it good. Right. I mean, you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars to make these films. It's crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. I'm
those lens flares cost money, Paul.
Those lens flares do cost money.
That's right.
I do feel like it's going to be tricky. Mm-hmm. To have an audience that's interested in these characters without the actors that have. I mean, we said that the first time, right? But at the same time, I kind of feel like even more so now you don't even have these actors. And from a prequel standpoint, assuming this is a prequel to the 2009, these characters shouldn't have a history.
Right.
You know, except maybe, you know, Spock and Uhura.
Well, they said that the prequel is going to take place decades prior to the 2009. Oh. So I assume that it is perhaps a Starfleet prequel and not necessarily a, you know, Kirk, Spock, and McCoy prequel, right?
Interesting.
It's not something that is going to engage, you know, early versions of those characters. That's gotcha. That's my understanding of what I read.
Okay.
But yeah, but you know, on the heels of that, we got news that Strange New Worlds got picked up for an additional season.
Yes, sir.
Which I kind of thought we already knew.
And we didn't know, Aaron. We didn't.
Did
know.
We not? I could have.
I mean, now we know.
Okay. Well, and then Lower Decks got renewed for a final season. And I gotta tell you, I think wrapping Lower Decks up now feels a little early. I'm not sure that I would wrap it up. That show generates so much goodwill for Star Trek. I don't think that I would have wrapped it up just yet.
I don't disagree. I honestly think it's a mistake. Now, it's probably cost and, you know, time.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, given the announcement, they actually have the, you know, the time to wrap it up.
Right.
In the format that they, you know, like we get an actual ending to the story. Now, I will say, for what it's worth, I'm kind of suspicious of this announcement, this Lower Decks announcement.
Okay. In what way?
I kind of am wondering if maybe this Lower Decks announcement is not so much an announcement that we will receive no more Lower Decks. It's an announcement that those characters may graduate from the Lower Decks.
So it'd just be Decks?
Well, it might be, I don't know, the you know, U.S., you know, Star Trek Cerritos or something like that. Like,
right.
It feels a little like, maybe, you know, maybe these characters, you know, maybe they've got something else planned for them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be preferable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I could live with that. I mean, I feel like these characters and stories are so beloved and really have communicated and demonstrated that the next generation period is still rich with story. Even though we're telling, you know, funny stories here, you know, cartoon stories here, it's demonstrated that there's a lot of room for story left in that space, just like Star Trek Picard did, season three, not seasons one and two. But I think there is still a rich storytelling space there that really Paramount is crazy if they don't mind. And Paul, I gotta say, the more I think about it, the more I think that Starfleet Academy, isn't going to happen in the 32nd century. I think they're being kind of cagey about it. I think they're going to do their Starfleet Academy story elsewhere. They announced it
as the 32nd century
originally, though. But they also announced that they were going to do a con podcast. And where's that, Paul?
Fair. Touche, Aaron. Touche.
You know, I saw that Margaret Wiseman. What's her name? Tilly.
Mary.
Mary. Mary. I saw Mary Wiseman being cagey about whether or not she was going to be in it. And I'm like, they already announced that she was going to be in it. I mean, they announced that, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So I wonder if they've retooled the Starfleet Academy concept, because I could see them doing some kind of Starfleet Academy in the TNG era, you know, on the other end of it, you know, like end of Deep Space Nine Voyager kind of story space, like, you know, the Picard season three stories were. I think that's a much better place for it. I really hate the idea of spending any more time in the 32nd century than we have to. I don't feel like that space is well settled yet. I don't know. That's just me, Paul.
Yeah. I would be curious to see if they did something, you know, they've talked about Starfleet Academy. I mean, this is probably the fifth or sixth Starfleet Academy.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they've been talking about doing Starfleet Academy movies, Starfleet Academy series. It was going to be, you know, Starfleet Academy with the original, you know, crew. I mean, this is a story that's literally been kicked around since the 70s.
Yeah.
I mean,
and so is it actually, and if it actually happens, you know, how do they make that exciting? How do they make it something people want to see? And I don't think it's by setting it in the 32nd century.
No, and I don't know how you tell that as an interesting story week after week. To your point, I think it can be an interesting one-off. I think it's a great idea for a, you know, hey, let's flash back to our Academy days. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, there was a time where they were like, yeah, it could be a new teeny show, you know, like a CW show. Right. There was that conversation at one time, and I don't see it.
And that may be the way they go with it, but it's, you know, I don't see that as something of interest to Star Trek fans.
And the problem is that Star Trek is generally populated with people who know their business, who are fully competent, right? And you know, they're not on a, you know, a teenager's journey, right? You know, they're not typically going through puberty and discovering themselves. They're discovering, you know, new life and new civilizations, which are metaphors for, you know, things that we discover ourselves, but it's not generally that personally driven. I don't know how you make that interesting week after week.
I don't know, but we'll find out on a future episode of Star Trek with Aaron and Paulie if they actually make the show.
If they actually make the show. But I thought it was interesting that Mary Wiseman was being coy about whether or not she was going to be in the show.
Maybe she'll die in Disco.
And that might be the case. And maybe the entire crew dies.
Maybe. Maybe that conversation between Adira and Tilly in the prior episode was a setup for Adira taking over as a teacher in Starfleet Academy.
We could have the Adira show.
It's possible.
Well, I think the only person who survives the series is going to be noted Stickman Saru.
I mean, yeah, because he's but he's getting married, and really, which is worse? No, I'm just kidding. But I have thoughts on this Saru storyline.
So let's talk.
We'll wait till we get there.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about this week's episode of Discovery. Discovery season five, episode 3, Janal.
Janal. And Janal, as we come to find out, is the name of a Trill.
Janal Bix.
Janal Bix is the name of a Trill scientist who had experience with the secret, the MacGuffin 800 years ago.
Yeah. He was one of a handful of scientists
six.
who researched the progenitor information that Captain Picard's crew discovered, and, you know, decided that this was all too dangerous for anybody to get their hands on, so they had to break it up into four or five pieces and hide it from everybody. And so they did what you always do in these circumstances. You create a ridiculous quest so that, you know, a person can prove themselves worthy to have this information. So anyway, we know all this because Janal Bix becomes an inhabitant of Dr. Culber's body. And I got to tell you, Paul, I loved the performance of Janal. I really very much enjoyed the swagger that we got to see. You know, just how he immediately opens up his jacket and, takes that long look around and, you know, hey, this body works out.
Yeah.
I very much enjoyed his performance.
I did too. You know, it was nice to see Culber, you know, stretch his legs, for lack of a better way of saying it, into kind of something a little bit different than what he normally plays. Because he normally plays just calm, peaceful, you know, a pleasant person to be around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we kind of got a different side of his character.
Yeah, and what was nice is that certainly Janal had, you know, had his own agenda. but he wasn't a bad guy. You know, he was just a very different guy than what we get to see with Culber. And it was nice to see the actor get to, like you said, stretch his legs and you know, be a different character and, you know, get to enjoy performing differently. You know, sometimes when you see our actors in the show adopt a different personality, it's not particularly convincing. And we've
seen that in things like Strange New Worlds.
Yeah, right. And I just very much enjoyed this performance. I was like, I hate to see Janelle go.
But is Janelle fully gone? Who knows?
I hope we get to see Janelle some more because I thought that the performance was a lot of fun.
I mean, Culber was looking a little distant there at the end, you know, in his eyes.
So I felt like this episode wanted to beat me across the head with our new executive officer's bad management style.
I wish they were. I feel like we've already gotten this character humbled earlier this season. I don't know why he continues to have to be humbled versus, you know, can we start seeing the growth in that character now?
Right. Well, and it offends me that the lieutenant, you know, Lieutenant Tilly in this circumstance, is going to take him to task for how he's interacting with the crew. And, you know, I'm sorry, I know it's the 32nd century, but it's still a command structure. Right. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
we talked about this on the Discovery before, though. They don't have a command structure there. It's a lawless land.
Well, and that's what I like about the contrast between, you know, Burnham and her XO, whose name I forget all of a sudden. I like the differential between the two of those. Yeah, there's a great big delta, and I like it. You know, I like that, you know, she is, you know, a little bit more, you know, touchy-feely and informal. And he is very much a, you know, he thinks outside the box, but he is also very rigid in the command structure. And
Commander Raynor.
Thank you. Commander Raynor. I dig him. I'm already like, oh, you know, if they want to give command of the Discovery over to Raynor, I'm down for that. You know? And I do hope we get to see him be in command of something, you know, take the ship into battle while, you know, Burnham's off doing something else, or be on an away mission while Burnham's taking the ship in. But I want to see, you know, to coin a phrase, you know, action Raynor, right?
I think we will at some point.
I hope it
certainly feels like they're building, you know, they are setting that character up for a redemption arc. I don't think we're going to see. It's either going to be one of two things. Either Raynor's going to be a traitor, or he's going to redeem his character, and we'll see him, you know, do something great and terrific, and you know, and captain worthy to earn his stripes again.
I guess what I find offensive about the storyline is that I understand and agree that his decision on the planet in episode one was not the right decision, right? You know, that mm-hmm. he needed to, you know, save the people before, you know, and he needed to, you know, prioritize that within the parameters of his mission, right? I agree with that. He was in error, even though it was a red directive. What I disagree about is them taking him to school on how he engages with people. You know, on the crew, and you know, you've got 20 words to tell me about you. And, you know, I was like, okay, you know, I mean, that's a challenge, right? And I, you know, I'm not in the military. I'm in business, and I could very much see, you know, someone in business doing something like that for the, you know, to quickly get to know your staff. I didn't have a problem with it. But of course, I'm also not looking for my boss to be my best friend. And I think that's one of the things that is challenging about how Discovery is written, is that, you know, we've got to be family and friends versus, you know, a cohesive team. It just gets me a little bit. And he proved that he was listening and that he could, you know, that he understood the staff, right? And of course, Tilly's got her knickers in a twist because he wasn't warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, and you know, and called him to task on it, which feels again a little silly. But you know, that's a storyline that, again, you know, I feel like it's TV. of course, characters don't, you know, experience growth in one episode. Sometimes we have to tell the same story repeatedly in order to make it, to make sure that you understand that this character is still a grumpy jerk. We need to get him, you know. But I was like, do we need to see this again?
Yeah.
Like, you know, but he learned his lesson, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be nice in the next episode.
That is correct. We also predicted it, Paul. We nailed it. Adira and Gray broke up this episode.
Yes, they did.
Or did they? Or
I don't know. They were holding hands near the end. And I'm
it's the weirdest breakup I've ever seen. I mean, you know, Gray, you know, tells Adira, things are different. It's not really working out, yada, yada. And, you know, so are we actually breaking up? And Adira says, yeah, I think we are. And so they break up, but they decide to still be very close and checking in with each other. And I mean, I felt like there needed to be a little bit more emotion in the breakup. You know, I mean, I understand what people mutually decide, like, hey, this isn't working out. And I think that's great and mature and whatnot. I don't think that Adira is old enough to be that mature. But I do suppose there is a symbiont involved. So maybe I should apply that there. You know, I keep thinking that Adira doesn't have the symbiont anymore. And I don't think that's true. I think that they do.
No, I think Adira does not have the symbiont. I don't believe Adira has the symbiont anymore.
Okay, because I
believe that was, yeah, I mean, that was, it, now, don't get me wrong, it's been probably 2 years since that story,
right.
two seasons since that storyline, you know, probably 4 years, give or take, since that those episodes
did they,
actually
did
released,
they remove the symbiont?
I don't recall.
I don't recall. Yeah. I'm going to have to look that up. Because I keep thinking, you know, I was thinking this week that, you know, when Dax, you know, when we were watching Deep Space Nine back in the day, that was always present. You know, there was always a presence, like, what does the symbiont know versus what does the host know? And, of course, you know, Adira's human versus being Trill. And so, yeah, maybe they did take the symbiont out. Anyway, I don't know.
I am pretty sure.
Did they say that when they were in the caves? I'm going to have to go back and watch this thing again, damn it. When they were in the caves, I could have sworn they said that, you know, Adira couldn't be the host for Janal because Adira had a symbiont.
I don't know.
I thought that's what they said.
Well, listener, just tell us.
Okay, so Paul, you are on team not a symbiont.
Yeah, no more symbiont.
Yeah, no, not joined. I'm correct. On team joined. One of us is right, one of us is wrong.
Because they felt a little out of place on Trill, right? And you would think that they would feel more part of the collective.
And to your point, I you would think that they'd be, you know, hey, how's your symbiont doing? Yada, yada, you know, you being human and all. But I have completely put that episode out of my head if they have removed Adira's symbiont. So anyway,
I think Adira doesn't have a symbiont.
You may be right. You may be wrong. You never know.
I'm usually right.
All right. Well, Paul, did you like this episode? You know, we found our stuff. We're ready to move on to the next site. And of course, you know, at the end of the episode, we see that Maul has, you know, snuck in and put a tracker on Adira to take back to Disco with her. So, or with them. So, you know, Paul, did you like the episode?
Not really. You know, and you know, I don't want to be, because I will say last week I enjoyed the episodes. I felt like this was my least favorite of the three.
Mm-hmm.
Despite, you know, some good performances from Culber, it still had, you know, the we've talked a little bit about this, right? Discovery is emo Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like sometimes they lean a bit too heavy into the emo.
Oh, yeah.
For me. Because at one point, Burnham, you know, at the end of the episode, she's practically in tears in front of Culber, talking about how, you know, she's, you know, one of the reasons she's so hell-bent on finding this progenitor technology is that she's seeking something. She's seeking purpose. And I'm like, I thought you've already acknowledged your purpose. You're a Starfleet captain. You have your crew. Like, it feels like we have to, again, kind of to the point we were making about Rayner earlier, like, do we have to rewind the progression that some of these characters have made in order to, you know, to tell the story? Because I don't feel like, one, I have much the same complaints, but now that we're three episodes into the season, the complaints, you know, kind of, yeah, they kind of compile on top of each other in that Burnham still doesn't really come across as a commanding presence as a captain that anyone really feels, you know, to me, should feel inspired by. She's, don't get me wrong, she seems very nice and kind and understanding, but a leader, a captain of a Starfleet vessel, she's not giving those vibes to me yet. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Saru, who had a little tiff with his fiance that was basically nothing. And I'm like, okay, well, that seems like a silly side story.
Well, and I think the thing that bugs me about Saru and his girlfriend, you know, President Rilik. Is that right? President Rilik?
I think so.
I think that's right. Anyway, my thing with them is that Saru apparently has never had a relationship before. And, you know, I mean, I think that it might be correct to say that he's never had a girlfriend. Not one in the show. And I suspect, given where he was when we met him, excuse me, in the first season, I don't think he's probably ever had a girlfriend. And so, you know, him learning all of this is absolutely appropriate. But, you know, you would think that folks would say, hey, you know, maybe you ought not to get married quite so fast.
Yeah. You know, maybe don't marry your first girlfriend.
That's right. That's right. Anyhow, you know, I liked this episode better than I liked the first episode. And I think it has everything to do with Janal, just how much I enjoyed Janal. And I just, you know, there was just such a Western swagger, you know, cowboy sort of, you know, moseying down the path that I got a real kick out of in seeing, you know, the performance there. But I am frustrated already. Three episodes in, and I'm frustrated with the hunt for clues. I don't like those kind of video games. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't, as much as I admired the production on Myst, I hated that game. I do not like solving riddles. Riddles are not my thing. I'm the guy who's like, just give me a hammer and I'll break the door down. You know, I don't want to have to figure out the puzzle to open it up. You know, it just drives me crazy. So I my patience is wearing thin, I guess is what I'm saying about this season. I just need us to get down to storytelling and stop chasing things. You know, yeah. We did not do that in earlier Star Trek. You know, we didn't make, you know, every episode about chasing the thing. It was about, you know, telling stories, and they were character driven and sometimes plot driven. But, you know, that we told different kinds of stories week to week. And I just we got to chase the thing. We got to figure out the thing is gotten very tedious for me.
Yeah, then you know. Unfortunately, we're only three episodes in, but this is a 10-episode season.
Yes,
but you know, we talked a little bit about this last week. That hopefully, there's only four pieces, right? So hopefully, you know, they're not going to make this a season-long quest, but rather they will uncover this technology, and then it'll fall. You know, the story will shift some way. I do think that we're not going to be searching for it the entire season. I think it'll be found by mid-season, and then,
well,
you know, the story will shift it to overdrive towards the conclusion.
Mid-season starts this week.
Well, right? We're coming up on episode 4, and this is a 10-episode season, correct?
Right, but your mid-season would be episodes 4 or 5, you know.
True.
I really think that, you know, it's time to define my expectations, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I really want to enjoy this. I really don't want to be the guy who, you know, spits on Star Trek, but God.
Yeah, no, same. You know, I mean, there are positives in this episode. Overall, it's not like I hated the episode, even though, you know, it had a lot of things for me that went against it. The overly emo aspect of it, which kind of was exacerbated by the Trill, because I'm not a big fan of it. I find, like, the touchy-feely Trill planet stuff, like,
So let me clarify that. Are we talking about you're not a big fan of new Star Trek Trill, or you're not a fan of Trill overall, like, back into Deep Space Nine?
No. I mean, of course I love Jadzia Dax. Okay.
That was about to hard quit this show.
No problems with Jadzia. Okay. But, like, the Trill as they're portrayed in Discovery, you know, because these are not the first time we've explored Trill Nashville storylines, right, and, you know, interacted with some of the characters, the returning characters that we saw in this episode. But, you know, kind of the soft-spoken, welcome to Trill, let's tell a riddle. And
yeah, I don't care for that either.
But then, you know, which is in direct conflict to Janal as kind of this, like, trickster character.
Yeah.
So it was interesting.
Who was charming. I really dug that guy. He had so much charisma.
Yeah, but if you follow all the other Trill, they're basically just robes, you know, people wearing, monks wearing robes in caves. Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to belabor my complaints, but I will say it was an episode that I think for me, at least, you know, at least we got some conclusion on Adira and Gray. You know, I think we've kind of expressed our lack of interest in their relationship in the past and kind of the ickiness of Adira being so young and Gray being kind of an older character.
Yeah. Well, and I know we're going to continue to see more of Adira and, you know, just based on
previews. In Starfleet Academy.
and based on what the preview for this week is, and we get to hear Gray's voice, I wonder if we're going to get more Adira Gray throughout the season, though, even though they've broken up.
Maybe they'll get back together.
But
maybe everyone will break up and get back together. Maybe Michael and what's-his-face, Booker, will get back together as well.
Maybe everyone will get back together.
That's the ending.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, hey, we want to know who you think's going to get back together. What about Adira and Gray, Booker and Burnham, and
Aaron and Polly.
Aaron and Polly. Yeah. Well, we get back together after the bomb Paul dropped about the Trill and Jadzia. Anyway, give us a shout at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com, and if we use your comment on the air, you could win a coveted, valuable Ideology of Madness surprise.
You can also hit us up on social media, IOMGeek, on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
Yeah. All right. We'll do it all over again next week. See you then.
Let's pod. That's what it was.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Star Trek with Aaron and Polly is a production of IOMGeek.com. Have a question or comment? Hailing frequencies are open at 972-763-5903. Tribble wrangling provided by Triskelion Trays, no troublesome tribbles. Mr. Aponte's wardrobe provided courtesy of Garrick's Clothiers, conveniently located on the promenade.